Mark Collier here with Fort Thomas Matters Radio. We are sponsored by Omega Processing Solutions, headquartered in Fort Thomas, Kentucky. Are you an independent business owner looking for a better way to process credit cards? You should check out Omega Processing Solutions. Their straightforward application and approval process makes it really simple. And hey, have you seen the new credit cards with the chips on them? As a small business owner, you might want to talk to Omega Processing Solutions to find out what changes that's going to mean for you. To schedule an appointment with one of their professional account executives, you can call them at 866-888-9724 or send an email to info@omegap.com. They're going to get you on the road offering your customers additional payment options, which can mean additional sales for your business. Again, OmegaP.com, 866-888-9724. And of course, that intro, that bumper music, was none other than Bret Michaels of Poison fame and most recently of Fort Thomas Merchants and Music fame. Bret played a free concert to a large crowd in Fort Thomas last Saturday. A little bit of a rainy start, turned out to be a great day. No problems, no issues. We will kind of examine that as some of the numbers start to trickle in, and we will let you know when we get those. But it was a great time, and again, the Renaissance Board of Fort Thomas did an outstanding job, chaired by Linda Sloan and Debbie Buckley. But the whole group did a great job, and we had a great time. Today we're going to talk about a book that's being released by a Fort Thomas resident and friend of mine, Darren Murner. Darren has written a book called Corporate Bravery, the tagline being Eliminate Fear-Based Decision-Making. I got a chance to kind of look through the book. He's going to have his launch party on October 12th from 6 to 8 o'clock at 842 Monmouth Street, which is another business venture that he has. It's a creative and co-working space called Borderlands. So if you have an opportunity to put that on your calendar, you should definitely do it. This is a book that I would probably read anyway if Darren weren't my friend, but if you've read any Malcolm Gladwell books, and no disrespect to Malcolm himself, but Darren kind of takes that vein where he uses everyday opportunities and examples from real life businesses and situations in his own personal life and kind of expands upon those so that it's an easy read. He looks at business principles and asks you as the reader to kind of challenge yourself in some of those thinking. So I got it yesterday. I've gotten through about half the book already. It's a really fast read, so make sure that you you take a look at that. You can order it on Amazon, and we are going to have Darren on Fort Thomas Matters Radio to talk about that in our first segment. The second segment, I don't know that we're going to be able to get to. I try to make these podcasts in small bite-sized segments. I know not everybody has an hour to spend to listen to these every day. So I originally had planned on doing a Ask Me Anything segment where I literally asked our readers, our followers on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, via text or email or message to ask me anything. And I got a lot of really kind of interesting responses. I had no idea. I had no preconceived notions about what I would be asked, which is why I left it open-ended. But I got some questions that, you know, I don't even know the answers to. But what it ended up doing was it's given me a lot of kind of content that I can go back and look through my little black book and start to ask these questions. And what that does is it just opens up an opportunity to have more communication and more clarity about the things that are happening in our community. So I'm gonna look at that list. I probably have about 100 questions that got submitted to me. I'm either going to, you know, kind of pare down that list to, you know, 25 questions that I can kind of hit rapid fire, or we're gonna, you know, as they come in and I get the questions, answers that I don't know the answers to, we are going to kind of do a different podcast altogether and dedicate that whole thing to an Ask Me Anything podcast. But before we get to Darren, I'd like to take a minute again to recognize one of our sponsors, City Barbecue in Highland Heights, Kentucky. City Barbecue is right off of Alexandria Pike in the new development right next to Fort Thomas Jewelers, right past Northern Kentucky University. City Barbecue has become my go-to catering destination. Whether I've got a party of 20 or I've actually crammed 60 people in my house pretty recently, they will take care of everything for you. The food is outstanding. Their sides, their brisket, their meats, their cornbread, their desserts, everything is amazing. You can check them out at citybbq.com or call them at 859-415-4544. 859-415-4544. Tell them Fort Thomas Matter sent you and get a free dessert. Coming up in segment one, we will be on with author of Corporate Bravery, Darren Murner. Back with segment one with Fort Thomas Matters Radio. This is Mark Collier. I am here with Darren Murner, who is the author of a book which he released last month called Corporate Bravery, Eliminate Fear-Based Decision-Making. Darren, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
So I'm great. You've got your Stockpiles hoodie on right now. We're here in the Borderlands creative and co-working space. What else you have going on?
Well, the book.
Yeah, the book.
We've got, I do have a couple things. So Borderlands is a creative co-working space and studio. Largely, my wife and I have a really awesome and cool space to work.
And it is, by the way, it's being built out right now. It'll be ready when?
Within a week. So actually, by the time we're doing the book launch party there, so we've got to make sure we got it buttoned down in time for that. So
and that book launch party is going to be October 12th from 6 to 8. Borderlands is at 842 Monmouth Street in Newport.
Yep.
What can people expect at the book launch?
Yeah, we will obviously have copies of the book. I'll be signing it if somebody wants, you know, kind of personal note or something. And, you know, for people that really enjoy business and business books, I think it could be a nice gift. You know, Christmas time's coming up soon. So there's that. I'm going to give a little bit of, you know, some things that kind of aren't in the book, but a little bit more context to why the book is even out there and what I hope people do with it. And we're going to have free beer, free drinks. So that's always, you know, if you're looking for that, come join us. So
Corporate Bravery, why write this book? You've been working on this for a few years.
2 years
now.
Yeah.
2 years now. Why write this book?
Yeah, so we spend 40% of our waking time at work punching a clock for someone. And people are creating the cultures that we're working in, and a lot of times those cultures are ruled by fear, and I've experienced that many times on a firsthand basis, and I've mentioned some of those examples in the book. And you know, it's too important to spend 40% of our waking life in a crappy environment where, you know, that fear that we working in, it translates into other parts of our lives, you know, how we parent, what kind of a husband or wife that we are, what kind of a community member we can be. So I just feel like it's really important that we kind of start to change the cultures that we work in, and hopefully it improves our lives.
So and I think it's chapter two in the book, you define fear, right? And you felt like that was a an important thing to do, because it's a concept that everybody has kind of experienced in different parts of their lives, or whether you know it or not, you're being exposed to fear every day. So I guess what was that? Why was that important for you to do?
Yeah, I think it's important because I think a lot of people, they actually almost embrace fear. You know, in a sales culture, a lot of times you'll get a lot of kind of skewed views about what fear is and the value behind fear. If you talk to sales managers, you know, they're almost, you know, it's like, hey, I manage by fear because that's a motivator. It's a powerful motivator.
Sure.
And it actually can be a powerful motivator. But the problem is, it actually comes with a lot of repercussions. And, you know, we talk about, you know, really good examples or really good kind of a way to translate that is when you look at people in the military and kind of the impact PTSD and, you know, we have our own PTSD from work environments or work experiences that we've had as well. And so, yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the roots or the origin of fear and, you know, what does, you know, what do our religions say about fear, and just to really provide a little bit of a foundation or context.
Sure. And one of the cool things, and we talked a little bit about this off the air, but reading through this book, I would buy this book anyway. It's a business-related book that uses day-to-day examples, things that we are familiar with on a day-to-day basis that Sure. we can draw from point A to point B. But beyond that, I think it's a really cool thing, especially for people in Fort Thomas, because you talk about your personal life. You talk about Fort Thomas. You mentioned Fort Thomas Yep. in the book
Yeah, absolutely.
a lot of different times. So I guess in one aspect, talk about one of the examples of fear affecting us here in Fort Thomas.
Yeah, I feel like my favorite example, and one that I know is still near and dear to the hearts of people who live in Fort Thomas, is the reservoir, the water reservoir. And, you know, after 9/11, there was a lot of kind of fear and hysteria, and people rushed out and built barriers around things that they were concerned about, and we're still doing that to some extent today. And that was, you know, man, the reservoir and the hiking and walking trails around that was really a huge community asset. And after 9/11, there was a lot of concern about the water quality and that somebody could tamper with the water. And so we erected the big giant fence around it and we shut it off. And, you know, they actually patrol that and stuff. And it's just crazy to me because with that fence, it's, you know, there's 8 feet that separates between the fence and the water supply. And it's, you know, it's just a wrought iron fence. And, you know, if somebody really wanted to do something to the water supply, you could walk right up to that and just lob some sort of chemical into the water.
Sure.
So even though it's not even an effective deterrent, or really even a protective measure, it makes people feel good. And, but it doesn't really do anything but take away this community asset from the people that can use it.
And you talk a lot about this and societal and where this fear stems from, and you know, governments are forming policy, corporations are forming policy this way. I guess talk about the emotional side of fear. Is that where that stems from?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things we talk about is, you know, if you look at the statistics behind the things that we die from, right? The things that we are most commonly dying from are heart problems and cancers. And those are the most common forms of death. And you know, meanwhile, we're like gorging ourselves with Big Macs and, you know, doing all kinds of unhealthy things that lead us towards heart disease and cancer. And if you look at the numbers on terrorism or you look at the numbers on airplane crashes, it's just irrational. But emotionally, we buy into that because it feels it's the unknown or it's Sure. things that we can't control. And those are the things that tend to be the aspects that people focus on the most and really kind of let our fears around that dominate or drive our decision making.
Yeah, the unknown. You mentioned the lifetime odds of death for certain causes. This is based on the National Safety Council of Injury Facts of 2015. 1 in 7 total deaths is caused by heart disease.
Right.
1 in 28 is caused by respiratory disease. And then you get down to some of the things that, you know, are not likely to happen. For instance, You know, contact with hornets, wasps, and bees, 1 in 55,000. Contact by a dog, bitten by a dog, 1 in 116,000. Or lightning is 1 in 64,000. Yet, right. You know, the dog type of thing or the gun violence is even, you know, it's higher on that.
Right.
But heart disease is number one, and, yeah. And that seems to you know, not be as fearful.
And those are things that we, you know, small decisions that we make day in and day out. And it's really no different in a corporate context. There's a lot of individual decisions that you can make on a day-to-day basis that either creates a culture of fear or enables people to make decisions in a brave way.
So you talk about corporate America, corporate context. This is a business book. Is fear ruining corporate America?
I mean, I think so. And I think, you know, if you look at the trend, you know, where is job creation happening? It's in small, you know, entrepreneurial firms where it's people risking, you know, their own personal fortunes and, you know, the opportunity cost of big paychecks. By and large, millennials are completely turning away from corporate America. They don't want those jobs. You know, what used to be a really attractive position at Procter & Gamble or General Electric, they're actually having a really hard time filling those positions now because, frankly, this new generation that cares about the culture that they work in, they want to do something that feels meaningful, corporate America just isn't offering that to them. And I think a big part of it is because of this culture of fear that happens. You know, it squashes their individuality. It diminishes their total quality of life. And, you know, the newer generation, the younger generation coming into the workforce, they want no part of that.
So one of the chapters that you talk about is fear in media and public relations. And I really liked that because that's obviously that's my forte.
Right.
I also like the fact that you mentioned Four Thomas Matters in there.
Absolutely.
It's a shame that we couldn't update the unique monthly views in there because we are a little bit higher than 50,000
a
month.
Sorry about that, man.
No, that's okay. But tell me how that works and some of the opportunities that you know, sometimes corporations move away from based out of fear.
Yeah, well, I think businesses in general, I think the bigger and the more that you have to lose from a business context, the more fear there is around media attention or media exposure. And they feel like they have more to lose than to gain from some type of media exposure. And the fear there is really just that you can't control the story, right? I mean, it's the writer or it's the editor that's putting the story together. And yeah, I understand there may be some factual inaccuracies or maybe the writer or the editor didn't do as much homework. You know, you obviously know your content more, but you know, I think it was Imelda Marcos that said, all media exposure is good media exposure.
Sure.
And there's just so few people that have that perspective. One of the stories that I talk about in there is a conversation from Mike and Mike in the morning. And one of the things they talked about was Derek Jeter. And, you know, when he announced his retirement, it was a really heartfelt kind of statement that he put out there. And it was genuine. And you know, Mike and Mike talked about it the next morning. And they said, man, you know, this just feels so different than what you hear today. And you know, I think it was Mike Golic that said, well, really where it all happened was where athletes went from kind of PR being about getting the word out there and, you know, providing a good context or a good story context for themselves or for their client to protecting themselves from media attention.
Sure.
And that's typically where we've moved in the United States, I think, in the last 20 years. And maybe that's because of the proliferation of the amount of media and social media and all the kind of stuff that kind of plays into that.
Well, yeah, so social media is obviously, it's so much, it's opened up so much different lines of community. You can talk exactly directly to Derek Jeter if you
right.
wanted to right now.
Right.
You could tweet to him right now and you know, a lot of people do that. There's a very high probability, though, that he's going to read your words.
Right.
Yeah. And you talk about that in your book. On page 214, you talk about, you know, some of the ways that tweets that people had sent to Gatorade, for instance.
Right.
Talk about that.
Well, I think, again, it's one of those things where large corporations have a pretty big fear around it, you know, because they can't necessarily control the conversation. It's like where are these people, our customers, or our audience, where are they going to take the conversation? And, you know, not having control over that is kind of scary for corporate entities. And, you know, brave organizations embrace that. And I do use the Gatorade example because I thought it was an excellent example of where somebody was brave enough to take control of the conversation.
So and talk about what happened.
Yeah,
with
it was in the NBA Finals, probably like 3 years ago now. And, you know, LeBron James was cramping, and it was, you know, there was the big giant Gatorade thing behind the bench. And so people kind of started jumping on Gatorade and saying, you know, hey, you know, if your product was better. And they actually took charge and actually kind of went on the offensive and said, hey, LeBron actually isn't our spokesperson. He drinks Powerade. And, you know, hey, if they'd actually been drinking Gatorade, maybe he wouldn't have been cramping so much. And, you know, to some degree, it was a little bit, it's like, oh, man, that actually could be seen as being a little bit offensive, but it actually worked for them.
I think it gave them
a lot of exposure. And
so at Lazy Bum Drew said something to Gatorade, and Gatorade responds back, we were waiting for him on the sidelines, but he prefers to drink something else, your Powerade reference. Right. They say to at Carmichael Dave, this is awkward. We don't sponsor him. Hashtag fail.
Right.
Now, before you came over here, you ordered something at an online restaurant here close to us. It took you a long time.
Right.
You felt like you could go out and tweet to them.
Yeah, it was a national chain, and I did that. And, you know, I when I do that, I try to, you know, make it productive.
Sure.
So it doesn't feel like I'm just trying to blast them because I'm trying to blast them. But at the same time, they responded within 10 minutes, and, you know, I've got an opportunity to have an audience there. And I think this particular company, it's a large national chain. I'm just going to say it's Chipotle. And they're actually an example of a brave company. I put together the brave rankings, the top 25 brave companies, and they're definitely on the list. And that's an example of just one example of how they've been brave.
So let's talk about the brave rankings and some of this content. You have a blog, which is
right. Corporatebravery.com.
Corporatebravery.com. There's a lot of content on there that he's been compiling. Some stuff you'll see in the books. There's some extra stuff in there as well. So the brave rankings, what are those?
Yeah, so really what I tried to do was quantify which companies are actually brave companies. And, you know, you may have your own perspective of who, you know, what is a brave company. But what we try to do is take the 9 fear factors that are in the book and put some sort of measure around that. So, for instance, on the regulatory side, you know, which industries are the most heavily regulated? And, you know, we've basically just scored that out and threw it into a big, massive spreadsheet and ranked it out and said, okay, what's the top 25? And there were some surprises on there.
So let's look at the top 10. And at number one, probably that would surprise me.
It was surprising, yeah.
Number one is if you've got Marriott on here.
Right. I totally wouldn't have thought of Marriott. I mean, I enjoy staying at their properties. I actually prefer Airbnb or, you know, something else that's outside of the hotel realm. But, you know, as hotels go, you know, I would have said, hey, they're a well-run hotel. But I would not have thought that, man, this is a brave company. And, you know, when you dig into the numbers, there's a lot of stuff around, you know, promoting diversity and having a great workplace. They're consistently rated highly in both of those. And, you know, even some innovation. There's a handful of innovative things that they've done over the years that have kind of led them into some higher rankings on that aspect. So they just scored very well in most of the factors that we studied.
So I'm looking at a top 10 list right now, and there's some companies on here that you would recognize: Marriott, Google, Amazon, Tesla, Facebook, Monster is on there. One that's off the list, and maybe they're number 11, I don't know, but I would think that Apple would be up there.
Apple is. I think they're around 12 or 14, okay. maybe even 16.
Is there a company on here that you looked at and you were surprised when you aggregated?
Well, I think other than Marriott, because Marriott was a surprise, you know, there's a handful of pharmaceutical companies that I wasn't that familiar with. But
what about companies that didn't make the list? Is there anything on there that you might have thought that they would have been on there?
Yeah, I mean, there's some high-tech companies, you know, companies like LinkedIn. You know, there's a handful that are kind of falling off the list as well that, you know, I think their trend is kind of in a negative direction, but Some of the other ones that I think I was surprised by was Autodesk. You know, it's a software company that focuses on design software. So it's kind of a niche marketplace, but they've grown to be a pretty big and powerful force in that market. And, you know, there's a handful of others. And I provide some commentary around each of those. If you go to the website and look at the rankings, there's a little bit of commentary about how each of those companies ended up in the list. But, you know, the one probably my favorite and the one I expected to be one of the highest was Tesla. I think they came in around number 7.
Yeah, so I think they're 8.
And, man, it just seems like everything they do is a perfect example of bravery. At one point, I did own the stock, so I had to be a little bit careful about how much I was, how glowing I was about it. I've since sold it. But, you know, it's just, it seems like every time they make a big, important decision, it's a brave decision. And I think a lot of that comes from their founder, Elon Musk. But
so at the end of the day, this book is about improving decision making.
Yeah.
I guess, was that where, when you started this book, is that, was that your end goal in mind?
Yeah, it wasn't so much improving decision making as much as it was just improving corporate business. You know, because when I look across the landscape, frankly, there's just very few companies I'm actually interested in working for. And I feel
like, which is why you have three of your own, right?
Right,
now.
Exactly. That's, and maybe that's just the entrepreneur in me, and I'm just not built to work in a corporation. And it just took me 15 years to figure that out. but I really think more and more people are just kind of coming to that conclusion that it's just not, it's not a great place to spend so much of your life. And at the end of the day, I'm hoping that this impacts and changes some of those larger corporations, that some important influential managers in these organizations read what I have to say and they start actually making some bold decisions, because I think it actually has implications for our nation as a whole. And it's one thing to try to change politics or change corporate public policy. And it's another if we can change the environment from inside our business organizations. It makes us more competitive on the global stage, and hopefully we're building long-lasting businesses that are built for generations, not just, you know, a decade at a time.
Well, they say that an entrepreneur is somebody that would rather work 100 hours a week for themselves than work 40 hours a week for somebody else. Obviously, you are fulfilling that destiny right now. And corporate bravery, eliminate fear-based decision making. Where can people pick that up?
Go to Amazon. It is available in some other outlets as well, but Amazon's the 800-pound gorilla, and anytime someone buys something on Amazon, it kind of improves the visibility of the book overall. So you can get both an ebook copy and a print-on-demand copy, so depending on what you want.
And obviously, we'll have plenty of those at the October 12th book release, book signing at 842 Monmouth in Newport, Kentucky from 6 to 8 o'clock. Darren Murner, author of Corporate Bravery, thanks for being on.
Thanks, man.
That'll do it for today's version of For Thomas Matters Radio, brought to you again by Omega Processing Solutions and City Barbecue. Check back next week. We will probably do a short podcast on the Ask Me Anything topic that we solicited last week. We had a lot of questions come in via Twitter. You can find us there at FT Matters. Facebook, you can message us or shoot us a comment or post to our timeline, or you can text us on our tip line, which is 859-379-5706. Again, 859-379-5706. For Darren Murner, this is Mark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio.